This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Saturday, August 19th, 2017. I'm Caleb Brown. The senseless violence and even murder in Charlottesville featuring neo-Nazis and Antifa forces in the past week puts many people in an unenviable spot. How do you both fully reject the hideous ideologies so closely associated with fascism, while also rejecting the strong anti-liberal elements of those who claim to oppose fascism? Daniel McCarthy of the American Conservative discusses the events of the past week. Let's get several things out of the way right away, which is the events in Charlottesville were horrible. I think almost everyone that I know was just aghast at how things occurred. And, you know, it's entirely possible that we wouldn't have heard that much about it had there not been a murder committed here. It seems that there are two groups here that really want you to take a side. And it's if you are a social justice warrior, however defined, this is the fight that you want. And the ideas that are presented by these white nationalists or Nazis or whatever weird, stupid distinction they want to make about themselves, their ideas are far more odious on the surface than anything that the left would conjure or say in public. But I think there is a weird risk where lots of people really would strongly prefer not to be associated with either group.
I agree with all of that. I think this is not only the fight that the social justice warriors want. It's also the fight that the neo-Nazis and the Klansmen want as well. They simply want to polarize and attract as much attention to themselves as possible. And then they want to gather people who are not extremists to their side. They want to present this choice between us and them. And Donald Trump himself has stumbled into this. Donald Trump seems to have a reflexive sort of anti-left position. That's been very successful for him politically, at least it was in last year's election. And so he pretty much always refuses to criticize any kind of right-wing extremism. And as a result, now you have white nationalists and other crazies who are able to say, well, look, the president is either on our side or at least is not willing to draw a line and throw us into the outer darkness. And this in turn then creates polarizing effects on Trump voters and other people who are not extremists but who are now expected to either become in their minds, either they have to align with the left, which they don't want to do and is, you know, sort of
– they don't trust the broader culture. They don't trust the media and they see a lot of the elements of the media being if not radical leftists themselves, leftists.
Exactly. So they they're being pushed into the direction that the lunatics want them to go. And so both the social justice warriors and the neo-Nazis benefit from the polarization, the hysteria, and the way the media has covered this as well as the way Donald Trump has reacted to it.
So, you know, if you're somebody who voted for Trump, perhaps you feel a little bit invested in his success. You don't trust the broader culture. You know that Nazis are bad people in general. They believe horrible things. They do not celebrate in any way Western values about basic equality of human beings. What do you do? Like you don't. You want to have an impact. You want to make clear that you do not represent either of these groups. But there is this sort of strong push for you to either defend something and look like you're defending horrible people. What are you to do?
You know, what Trump has not succeeded in doing here is showing that a proper right-wing, you know, Republican response is actually to criticize the Nazis, to criticize the Klan, not just based on liberal principles, not just based on principles of common decency, that the kind of racial hatred that these groups promote is in itself evil and to be rejected, but also based on fundamental, you know, small r Republican values as well, that this is weakening our country, that you're introducing these elements of race which are actually detrimental to any kind of, you know, not only Western ideal, but also to the actual power that a country is able to deploy. I mean, if you think about what the real sort of historical extreme the actual Nazis accomplished. They were not only murderous, they not only destroyed their victims, but they also destroyed their own country. And they cleared the way for the Soviet Union to take half of Europe. These are the people that are idolized by the right-wing radicals who rallied in Charlottesville. And I think it seems absolutely clear that anyone should be able to denounce these people, even from a nationalist, even from a populist perspective, if it's coming from an American nationalist or populist perspective.
So how do we draw the line? How do you draw a line? Say, look, people have rights to speak, people have rights to assemble, and I'm probably not above punching a Nazi personally. I wouldn't feel necessarily great about having initiated violence, but there has to be a line where people say, look, I respect people's rights, but I cannot abide this kind of talk.
Yeah, I think the ACLU is actually drawing some correct lines here. So they, just as they did with the Nazis who marched in Skokie, Illinois many, many years ago, they're saying, look, there are constitutional rights to assemble, to speak, et cetera. And, the violence is it's outside of the law. And, a certain amount of brawling might be expected from any of these kinds of events. And in fact, one of the things I think was very bad here was that the Charlottesville police didn't take a more forceful hand once violence had begun to control it and stop it. But in general, you have to stick to the Constitution. You have to stick to civil liberties even when they apply to people who are absolutely abhorrent.
All right. So it is almost impossible, given the events in Charlottesville, to level – or it's far more difficult to level criticism at the groups on the other side. It's become much more difficult, I think.
There's certainly an asymmetry in several respects. None of the Antifa in Charlottesville killed anyone. So that's one very clear difference between them and the Nazis. And second of all, the extreme ideology being promoted by the Nazis goes even further than the Antifa do. The Antifa are quite far out there themselves. They're on the hard left. But obviously Nazis and Klansmen are at the absolute margin of any kind of historical politics. So it has created a great deal of space and benefit for these sort of social justice warriors and Antifa. I think one of the dangers here, though, is that the steady attacks upon freedom of expression that you've seen on campuses, for example, are now going to be amplified. And you even have an op-ed in the New York Times today saying that the ACLU is wrong to be defending free speech for the sort of deplorable or worse than deplorable, the absolutely abominable. I think liberals and libertarians and conservatives who are devoted to the Constitution all need to be aware of this threat, that on the one hand we need to draw a sharp line in condemning the Nazis and the Klansmen, but we also should not be complacent about the kind of slower, steadier attacks, the erosions of rights of expression and assembly.
Daniel McCarthy is editor-at-large of The American Conservative. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast at iTunes and Google Play, and follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.